Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my sweet loves. It's so gorgeous to be back here with you guys today. I'm back in London. It's very warm in my office today, but I didn't want to open the window because I was doing some crazy building work outside. So I'm sitting in a sweat pit and I'm here talking to you about self-abandonment because it's the story of my life and it's a very important story for us all because I think there are very few women and men in the world that have got to the ripe old age of adulthood without in some ways abandoning themselves. And to start this episode, I want to tell you a little story, linked to the story I know you guys will have heard before, but from a different angle. And it's really the story of me finally quitting banking and then what kind of transpired after that. So for those of you who don't know the story, I worked in investment banking for 10 years. I was really miserable. I was like, this job is wrong. I feel trapped. Everything's wrong. Something needs to change. Like, I just need to quit my job. I can't quit my job. I'm scared. And I went round and round in circles for a very long time and then ended up leaving. And I was convinced, I even told myself the story, like when I started my business, that the whole thing was about the job and was about like choosing your own path and how my career was misaligned. And my career was misaligned in truth, but the problem that kept me there was much deeper than what I thought. I was convinced that like I can just move around some external pieces in my life, like where I live, what my job is, like who I hang out with, and then I'll just magically poof, be all fine and everything will be magical. And for the first little while after I left my job, it was like that. I was like this relief. I was like, yes, I finally made it. I'm like so brave and courageous. I've made this big move. Like this is the solution to all of my angst. But then slowly but surely, some of the angst started to return in that annoying way that it often does. We're like, oh, I had moved around the external pieces and I really thought that they would be the things that would solve it, but they weren't. And I started to really reflect on like what the deeper thing was around that job. Like if I let go of the idea that it was the job that needed to change, what was actually going on for me through that period? And as I kind of dug into my own experience of that time, and to be honest, the 10-year period where I was working there and my lifestyle and everything that was happening, when I looked at it objectively, what I saw was a woman who was living completely disconnected to herself. And I think it's helpful to kind of define what I mean by disconnected from myself in this context. For me, I'm not talking about like I wasn't doing enough self-care and having baths and face masks. I'm talking about I was disconnected from my true essence. I was disconnected from the capital S self inside of me. So in a lot of spiritual words, there's this idea of the capital S self, which is the ever-present self that exists underneath the personality, underneath the ego, and that our journey through life is to reconnect to this capital S self and to live from that place, from a place of service and offering and love and da-da-da-da. And through that period of my life, I was completely disconnected from that capital S self, completely disconnected. I was in a space of basically living life as a performance. And living life as a performance is very tiring. And there can be this like deep inner ache to not perform anymore. And sometimes we can't label it as performing. We don't recognize it as that, but there's a deep inner ache for something to feel different. Because I really believe that there's this flow of life that's constantly nudging us towards self-actualization to a certain degree. So there can be this deep inner ache and then this experience of like but I feel like I'm on the track that I should be on. Like, why do I feel this ache? And I think it's helpful for me here to kind of dive into like where self-abandonment starts, really. And there are lots of different schools of thought around this. And the way that I want to talk about it today is actually through the lens of our female lineage. That for a lot of us as women, we learned that to be a woman meant the abandonment of ourselves. To be a woman meant not having any needs, meant completely giving up all of our desires, meant like being really exhausted all the time, meant often like being really emotionally shut down or like really extremely emotionally expressive, neither of which being particularly healthy expressions of emotion. A lot of us were modeled womanhood as self-abandonment. And this is not to say that it is the fault of our parents. It's not. This goes way, 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 way back. All the way down our mother line, because our parents were obviously passed down from their parents were passed down from their parents. Like, this goes a really long way back. And for so many of us as women, we were brought up in environments that weren't hugely supportive of what it truly means to be a woman. And I often see this most clearly, in all honesty, when I'm hanging out with my niece, who is like 5, I think. And to be honest, just generally when I'm with like little girls who are like under 7, that I find generally little girls are like incredibly expressive. They're like really like sassy and expressive and like loud and sparkly and like just do little dance routines. I remember like back in the day, I used to do like gym routines for my family, like to just show off how sparkly I was. So like there's a natural essence, I believe, of women that is quite like vivacious and full of aliveness and like pizzazz, you know? And then slowly but surely, as we start to mature, we kind of learn that it's not okay to be that way. And that maybe we should make ourselves a little bit smaller. This can either come through the conditioning, through witnessing our mothers, or it can come through, like, you know, when you get into puberty and there's a sense of like, oh my God, if you're like that, you're going to get attacked by a man. Like, you need to shut it all down. You can't be too like, you can't be too any of those things because it's dangerous. Like, a lot of that stuff gets piled on top of us as women, of like how we need to behave in order to be, one, accepted by other people, two, safe in the world, and three, loved. So we have these like really vivacious, like wild feminine essences inside of us. And then we learn this rule set that's like, but I must be this way instead. So we follow that way. And we start to behave in that way. And we create this cage in our minds of like, this is how I have to behave in order to be loved, in order to be okay. And we follow that rule set. And as we follow that rule set, we stray further and further away from our true essence. And that is the process of self-abandonment. That is the process of moving into a place of behaving and leading our lives from conditioning rather than from self. And that is incredibly painful. And that's where we can have this experience of like there being something wrong, but we don't quite know what it is. But we also feel like we're on the right track because we're doing everything that we were told to do. But the ache of self-abandonment is so painful. And if we don't look at it and we don't start to heal it, what tends to happen is like explosions of stuff, like sudden explosions of like meltdowns or sudden explosions of rage or like just like big things of like, ah, everything's wrong. I need to get rid of everything. Because there's this pull, this natural pull towards being our true self. And the further away we get from it, there can be sudden like reverberations, almost like an elastic band pinging back and being like, no, I need to, I've forgotten myself. I need to be her. Or it can manifest as being completely numbed out and disconnected And like everyone knows a woman that's like that, you know, like their light's gone out. They're like numb, just like completely disconnected, going on the rigmarole of life, just like go, 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 go. But the light has gone, the sparkle has gone. And I actually think that oftentimes the desire that we have inside of ourselves for something more, or like that inner yearning that so many of us have, is actually the yearning for that light to come back on. So I want to talk a little bit about, like, more materially, what self-abandonment can look like in life, both from my own experience and just what I see in other people as well. So oftentimes to me, self-abandonment in the workplace looks like being incredibly high achieving, very disconnected from emotions, very go, 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 inability to slow down. And really in, like, you know, those spaces when you sometimes feel like you're just a robot and you're just like, go, go, go. And you don't, you're almost like completely unaware of anything that's going on inside of your body. You're just like in this robot mode. That is a very good representation of self-abandonment. The next piece, which is like, I mean, it's so comical because I do this all the time in relationships, is being the cool girl. So being the, like, really easy, detached, palatable, I'm cool, like, whatever, everything's easy, like, I don't mind at all, whatever you want to do, rather than voicing your needs, rather than voicing if something's not okay for you, like, really being in this space of being palatable rather than being true. Someone that's self-abandoning is often, like, really, really disconnected from their gut instinct. So they're pushing past their gut instinct, they're pushing past when their body's saying no to stuff. They're nodding and smiling when things do not feel good. I remember sitting in, like, client drink situations with people talking about stuff that, like, objectively I found deeply offensive. And I just, like, smile and nod and go along with it. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And every time we do that, we're abandoning the true essence of ourselves. We're abandoning the part of us that wants to express itself as life through us. And we're performing. And it's really, really fucking tiring to perform a whole life. Oh my God, it's so tiring. And so often, so many women are exhausted from playing these roles of, like, needing to be these well put together, like, God knows what it is, but, like, well put together, high achieving, whatever, women. And we're tired. We're so tired because we're pretending to be something that we're not. We're disconnecting from ourselves. We're abandoning ourselves. And it's really painful to be in that. And if we do it for a really long time, our body will start to speak to us. I really deeply believe that there's, like, an inherent flow that wants us to nudge towards ourselves in a deeper way. Not in an egotistical, like, it's all about me way, but coming back closer to our truest essence so we can live life from that place. And when we ignore it for a long time, our body will start to speak. Mine spoke through my bladder. As you guys know, I was pissing myself on the trading floor. It also spoke through my skin. I had terrible acne. I was, like, struggling to sleep at times, having, like, panic attacks in the middle of the night. Not, like, full panic attacks, but just waking up feeling incredibly anxious. And I kept feeling in myself this, like, in all honesty, there it wasn't, like, a full voice, but it was a kind of a knowing that was saying, like, I don't want to die without having, like, fully lived somehow. I didn't really know what that meant at the time. Like, I think I thought that it was about my career and about this, like, existential angst that I had, about maybe needing to move countries. But what I see now is it's never really about the outside world. Easier to believe it's about the outside world. It's way easier to be like, oh, I'll just change jobs. I'll just find another partner. I'll move cities. But I really believe that that existential angst that I had of, like, oh my God, I don't want to die without having lived was not about getting more achievements. It wasn't about studying more. It wasn't about becoming more shiny. It wasn't about becoming well known. It was about feeling fully alive. And you know what feeling fully alive comes from? It comes when you stop ghosting yourself. It comes when you have the courage to actually start to dive into your experience of life and be like, what's actually going on in my body? Like, what am I feeling? Like, what actually is all of this stuff that's inside of me? And for me, that took a really long time. I mean, I told the story. I did like 10 breathwork journeys before I shed a tear. I was so emotionally constipated. But that sense of like, I don't want to die without having fully lived is the yearning for your aliveness. It's the yearning for your pizzazz, for your sparkle. And your sparkle starts to come back when you let yourself feel. I really, really deeply, deeply know this to be true in myself. Our aliveness, our sparkle, our pizzazz comes back when we let ourselves feel. And when we let ourselves feel the grit and the pain and the grief and the fear and the joy and the eros and everything else in between. Like, the more we can let ourselves feel, the more we can teach ourselves to feel, the more we can be in practices which support us to feel, the more we come back to ourselves. The more we feel the sense of aliveness, the less that voice of like, I don't want to die without having lived, comes up. Because we start being connected back to our true essence. We start being connected back to the capital S self. We start being able to live from that place rather than from the performance. Don't live in the performance. It's fucking tiring. It's tiring and it's boring and it just doesn't feel true, you know? And I know how tiring it is. I did it for a very long time. So all I will say with this is that your life doesn't start when you find the perfect job or the perfect partner. It starts when you stop leaving yourself. Like, I genuinely believe everything that we want to experience comes through the experience of letting ourselves feel what is true. It's not like this sudden moment where it's like, oh my God, I'm suddenly connected to myself. It's this slow process of being like, can I start to become more curious about what is going on inside of me? Can I start to let myself feel a little bit more? Can I start to let myself be honest and true about what is going on for me? Because every time you tell the truth, every time you honor a no, every time you let yourself cry when you want to cry, every time you scream into a pillow when you want to scream into a pillow, every time you stay inside of yourself, instead of splitting off into your head and following the rule book of your mind, you're coming back into relationship with yourself. And that is the journey of a lifetime. It's the journey of a lifetime, and it's the most magical journey to be on. And it is the journey that will completely transform your experience of your life. Like, I honestly, it's so hard to put some of this stuff into words, but I look back at the version of me before who was emotionally numb, very shiny on paper, but honestly, I look haggard. I look at photos of myself and I'm like, she looks like she's lost her pizzazz and she's lost her sparkle. And I'm so grateful to have been nudged in the direction of reconnecting to that sparkle. And I so deeply want that for you too. And that comes with learning gently to self connect. So that is where we'll leave it for now. If this episode touched something in you, don't ignore it, my love. Don't ignore it. That's your body speaking to you. I have a space for one-on-one open at the moment. So if it's calling you, send me a message and we can talk it through. I'm not scary or stressful or pushy. And yeah, I'm just sending you a huge amount of love. If you want something easier, breezier than one-on-one, I also have my 7 days back to yourself freebie process, which is a really beautiful 7-day process of practices to help you to do some of this work in a really gentle way. So I'm sending you so much love and I will see you again soon. And yeah, just big love your way.